This is WFYI News Now. It's November 22nd, and I'm Darian Benson. Coming up, Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri spoke with health reporter Stephen Langell about how Israel's ongoing war in Gaza doesn't just spread death by conflict, it can also kill by allowing diseases to spread.
With people being crowded together, people being often malnourished or at least inadequately nourished, people not having access to both medical care and public health services, these diseases can spread very rapidly and easily.
But first, these headlines. Newfields released a statement Tuesday in the wake of the departure of former president and CEO Colette Pierce Burnett. The Board of Trustees said it was unable to provide any information about the museum's leadership change. The announcement that Burnett would be leaving the museum came earlier this month. A collective of Black organizations and community members have called for an explanation about her exit. The statement also underlined efforts to recruit and retain diverse talent at Newfields and said the organization would work to earn the community's trust. State officials say Indiana's lack of access to obstetrics care is growing, which is driving the state's high infant and maternal mortality rates. Abigail Ruman reports as the state sees the closures of more birthing centers, one lawmaker says the solution is more funding.
The Indiana State Health Commissioner says multiple Indiana hospitals closed birthing centers recently, and the state expects to lose one or two more in the next few months. Rural health leaders are pointing to physician recruitment and low Medicaid reimbursement rates as factors in those closures. Representative Rita Fleming says the state needs to invest money in preventative care and eliminate bureaucratic hassles that get in the way of patient care.
Our maternal and infant mortality will decrease, we'll have healthier moms and babies, and we'll be able to put that money saved back into increased Medicaid reimbursement.
Representative Ethan Manning says the state has the money to increase the low Medicaid reimbursement rate for OB services. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Abigail Ruman.
West Lafayette lawmakers say they are optimistic about the possibility of passing water legislation during the state's upcoming legislative session. Ben Thorpe reports leaders in the House and Senate said they, like local officials, are waiting for more data about moving forward on a proposed pipeline moving water from Tippecanoe County to Lebanon.
Earlier this week, Tippecanoe County officials moved to block water withdrawals for 9 months, hoping that lawmakers would take action on the issue during the next session. Senate President Pro Tem Roderick Bray says he's unsure about what water legislation might pass.
You may see legislation this year on that issue. Whether or not it moves or not is depending, I guess, on what it says, and we'll have that conversation.
West Lafayette Republican Senator Spencer Deary says he's received two commitments from legislative leadership, which includes their openness to bills that put guardrails in place around water withdrawals.
This isn't dead upon arrival, and there's work that we can continue to do as we work with stakeholders to get the best bill that we feel like we can pass.
Deary says leadership also guaranteed that the proposed pipeline will not move forward in the upcoming session. I'm Ben Thorpe.
And looking forward to the legislative session, yesterday was Organization Day at the State House, the ceremonial start to the session, and every year, it's also the start of predicting what will happen. For the GOP, leaders say they should strengthen existing policies, but the Democrats want to see something bolder. Brandon Smith reports.
Both Republicans and Democrats mentioned reading proficiency, truancy, and health care costs as areas of focus for the 2024 session, and House Speaker Todd Houston noted that last session featured significant legislation on many of those issues.
We need to allow things to be able to be implemented, maybe fine-tune some things.
Democrats want to push further, particularly on issues like child care, and Senate Democratic leader Greg Taylor continued to advocate for cannabis legalization, especially as three of four surrounding states now have legalization in some form.
If we don't, we're going to find ourselves behind the eight ball, and the other states are going to, I think I read something that Indiana's on a contact high now.
Republican leaders said cannabis legalization in 2024 is unlikely. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
And for our in-depth story, hundreds of thousands of people have been killed in the Russia-Ukraine war, and now thousands more are dead and millions face a humanitarian crisis as Israel's war in Gaza rages on. But war doesn't just spread death by conflict. It can also kill by allowing diseases to spread with consequences that can cross borders. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri spoke with health reporter Stephen Langell about that.
So what are some of the public health concerns related to these ongoing wars? While war zones create environments that can lead to disease spread, for instance, day-to-day infrastructures are damaged during wars, so people are unable to normally use roads, transportation, and other resources they need to reach medical help. And there's also the physical danger associated with movement, so people may delay medical treatment when they need it, which can lead to long-term medical problems, but also can lead to the transmission of potentially drug-resistant infections. Some of the diseases public health experts are especially worried about are infectious diseases, which are contagious and spread rapidly between people, so things like measles and tuberculosis. Lawrence Kingsley is an infectious disease expert with the University of Pittsburgh. He says these diseases can be deadly.
Globally, the leading cause of death is infectious diseases. In the United States, it ranks something like number 3 or 4 behind heart disease, cancer.
He adds that transmission rates of measles is 90%, making it a particularly dangerous threat.
Okay, Stephen, so obviously these conflicts are happening thousands of miles away. Why should local communities in the Midwest worry about that?
Well, the obvious thing is travel. When people commute between the U.S. and these regions, this can cause diseases to spread. For example, in Northeast Ohio, where I'm based, there's a big Ukrainian refugee population. And it's too early to know if we're going to see a similar influx of people coming from the Middle East to the U.S., including to states in the Midwest. But then there's the local issue we're dealing with as well. Right now in the U.S., we're seeing the lowest vaccination rates among kindergartners in years. The CDC recently released data showing that vaccination rates dropped a whole percentage point this school year compared to before the pandemic.
Okay, Stephen, so the U.S. plays a role in providing aid to countries at war. A lot of it seems to be used for military purposes. Is the U.S. also doing enough to get ahead of disease outbreaks in these countries?
Well, the White House is asking for billions of dollars in aid, and part of it will go towards military purposes, but part of it is also set aside for humanitarian aid, which may include public health needs. However, there are many potential issues at play here that could be a problem. First, many lawmakers oppose aid to Ukraine, but even if the White House has the votes for the funding, some public health experts say the bill is not specific enough. They're calling for this legislation to mention exactly how the fund should be spent, or else they fear it may not actually get ahead of these potential crises overseas. Here's public health expert Dr. William Pewin.
After 18 months and multiple supplementals, that maxim about repeating the same action and expecting a different result comes to mind. Unfortunately, expressions of intent aren't sufficient.
So obviously, the answer shouldn't be that we do not accept refugees or, you know, people traveling from war-torn regions. So, Stephen, what do public health experts say that local communities should be doing?
Well, Farah, according to these experts, it's important to provide public health support for these populations through vaccination efforts and screenings. This also means that we need to ensure local public health departments have the resources to do that job. Infectious disease specialists also stress that there's a lot of work to be done locally when it comes to ensuring children are getting their full vaccination doses.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
It's my pleasure.
That was Side Effects Public Media's managing editor, Farah Yousry, speaking with reporter Stephen Langell. Side Effects Public Media is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. It's based at WFYI. And that's all for today's episode of WFYI News Now. Our podcast is produced by the following people who live in your community: Aubriana Heron, Kendall Antron, who composed the music for this podcast, and me, Darian Benson. Our news director is Sarah Neil Estes. If you liked today's episode, remember to subscribe and share. And find us wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories about your community. We'll be back Monday with more local news and headlines.